Good day and welcome to the KKR EPE and KKR Americas Update Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Patrick Hart from StepStone. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Thank you for participating in today's performance update call for Pegasus Multi-Strategy Series A. My name is Patrick Hart from StepStone, and joining me on the call today, we have Amy Stewart and Elliot Lepofsky from KKR. I need to read a quick disclosure before we proceed with the call. The information contained in this program is strictly confidential and intended solely for Standard Chartered bankers. Views expressed in this program are those of StepStone Group LP and KKR as of November 14, 2018, Pacific Standard Time, and may change at any time. Opinions expressed are intended solely as general market commentary and do not constitute investment advice or a prediction or a guarantee of returns. Valuations and fund performance information is based on current values provided by KKR. StepStone has performed no independent verification of such values. Due to the inherent uncertainty of valuations, the stated values may differ from the values that would have been used had a ready market existed for all of the portfolio investments, and the difference could be material. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. Actual results may vary. As a high-level reminder, Pegasus Multi-Strategy Series A is a feeder into both KKR Real Estate Partners Europe and KKR Americas Fund 12. Therefore, any performance information, such as valuation, which may be quoted by KKR, will be referring to the underlying partnership level, gross of any management fees, and the timing of any cash flows may also differ for the feeder fund. The Pegasus Multi-Strategy Series A fund closed in April 2016 and has drawn down 45.5% of capital commitments to date. At this time, I'll turn the call over to Amy with KKR to give us an update on the Americas Fund. Go ahead, Amy.
Great. Thank you so much, and thank you to all of those who are dialed in or listening to this. As always, I'd like to start with just thanking you for the partnership as it relates to our funds. Speaking specifically to America's private equity, we've shared some materials and maybe just to provide you with a little bit of sort of a high-level walkthrough. I would just remind you that America's private equity is really the core of the KKR business, with what we've been doing now for well over 40 years and tracking very nicely from a performance perspective. So much so that the fund in which you're invested, the KKR Americas Fund 12, which is the 12th such fund in America's private equity, has a gross IRR of over 40% and a net IRR of nearly 20%. Granted, we are less than 2 years into the investment period, so I would caution you that that is still very early days, but is in line with how we think about the early start to strong performance within one of our private equity funds. In the U.S., we approach the market through sector-specific experience. In particular, there are five sectors that we target: consumer retail, financial services, healthcare, industrials, technology, media, telecom, and these largely cover a broad swath of the U.S. GDP. And we really feel like we have the right leadership in place. These are senior members of the firm who have been with KKR for, on average, over 10 years and have industry experience nearly of 20 years each. This team of over 60 investment professionals across those five industry teams is supported by a very deep bench of additional resources that are really unique to KKR and our platform. These are resources like our global macro and asset allocation team, our operational team that we call KKR Capstone, our public affairs team, Global Institute, amongst others. In a normal environment whereby markets are performing strongly, everything feels really good, these are probably not key differentiators to our activities, but certainly in times of volatility and uncertainty like that which we are certainly recent experience, these can become quite critical, not only in how the current investments perform, but also can serve as a competitive advantage as we look to acquire new investments and put capital work on a go-forward basis. Broadly speaking, we continue to invest behind those types of companies that are largely strong leading players within their sectors or subsectors. These are high quality franchises, oftentimes with significant operational improvements, or alternatively, we really like platforms for industry consolidation. Speaking more specifically to what we've done in America's 12 to date, as I mentioned, we're less than 2 years into this investment period, which is a six-year investment period for this fund. So it's still early days, but we are off to a very strong start and are deploying capital approximately on a 20% of the commitment per year, assuming sort of a five-year period to deploy, which is in line with our expectations at the outset of the fund. We are closing in on being close to 40% committed today, and that's across approximately 15 investments, a diverse set of companies across those five sectors I just mentioned. In particular, we are spending a fair amount of time in our healthcare as well as our TMT space. These are driven by secular trends that we think are strong performers, particularly at this stage in the cycle. And, you know, the other sort of broader themes that we pursue, because we continue to be active in some of the more opportunistic sectors like financial services or consumer retail, for example. And this is really driven by the work that those individuals, the 65-plus investment professionals I mentioned, do day by day in conversations with management teams, sector experts, and others really deep in the mix within each of those verticals to have a specific point of view, not only on trends within the sector, but on specific assets that exist that we would want to be owners of so that we can target those companies that we want to invest behind as opposed to just being on the receiving end of other people's pitches. And what this means is reality is it's a lot more work today than it was 2-5 years ago in finding the right assets, but there are still investments to be made. So even though the headline figures in the U.S. as it relates to purchase price multiples and valuations do seem quite high, those are headline numbers. And there are still pockets of more reasonable and actionable opportunity that persist. In the investments we've made more recently, I would say there are probably two overarching themes that we tend to think about. One is complexity. We believe we are in a time when most people are concerned with the potential downturn or recession coming in the near term, the next 2 to 3 years, and are accordingly trying to invest behind very clear, easy-to-understand stories that show growth on a go-forward basis. And because that is a popular theme, many buyers are trying to participate, driving valuations up to a place that's quite expensive. Our view is that there are still some really interesting and attractive opportunities that are just less obvious. These are situations where there's complexity either in the structure of the transaction itself or in the underlying business fundamentals. An example I would give to you is a deal that we recently closed out of the America's 12 Fund. It's a business called Upfield, which is a leading manufacturer and distributor of branded plant-based breads. So the brands that would probably come to mind would be something like I Can't Believe It's Not Butter or Country Crock. And this is actually a carve-out from Unilever. And because it is a carve-out, it is very complicated from a structural perspective. Day one, trying to stand up a company separate and apart from a larger conglomerate like this means that we were looking to fill nearly 1,000 seats that were empty of employees that were providing services from Unilever that no longer exist for the standalone company. Our investment team to review and assess the opportunity for this particular deal was over 40 people strong. And that included people from those different resources I mentioned, our capital markets team, our macro team, our global institute, to help us really get the conviction we needed around an investment that was not only structurally going to be challenging, Although we have done over 15 plus carve-outs in the last 5 to 10 years, so we do have a playbook that we feel confident that we can execute against, but it is a lot of hard work to do that. But also, this was a business that had been undermanaged and had been declining on the top line for over a year plus. So the real question we had to get comfortable around was there not only enough opportunity on the cost side, but the ability, from our perspective, to staunch these downward trends within the performance of the business and reset the business for growth going forward. And so having the point of view that we did was very unique in our ability to get this deal done. And I would sort of transition from there to the other key theme that we're pursuing in our America's private equity business, which in addition to complexity is around that differentiated angle, making sure that our asset selection is specific to us and our point of view. And so that might mean, having those technical capabilities, but in some situations, it's the partner that's alongside of us. So, for example, a business we acquired about a year ago called PharMerica in the healthcare space. This is a leading institutional pharmacy that's largely distributing prescription drugs into long-term care facilities, senior care facilities here in the U.S. This is a business that would not have made sense for us to buy on our own. However, one of our former portfolio companies, Walgreens Alliance Boots, was interested in investing behind this company but didn't want to have it on their balance sheet, so reached out to us to partner with them. Needless to say, when you think about a business like PharMerica, which is an institutional pharmacy, their largest expense is the cost of the pharmaceuticals themselves. By having Walgreens Alliance Boots as our partner, from the moment we signed up this deal, we were able to then transition our purchasing of these drugs into the same contract terms, which were significantly more attractive with the scale of what is one of the largest retail pharmacies in the United States. So again, a very unique angle that other bidders would not have been able to achieve. Similarly, more recently, we acquired a business in the media space. The company is called RB Media, a leading digital audiobook and spoken content producer. While looking at this transaction, we, through our deep network from our media team, were able to reach out to one of the largest distributors of audiobooks and simultaneously negotiate a long-term contract related to the RB Media's audiobook production business. Again, a unique angle that other bidders would not have been able to achieve. So while we are very mindful that this is a environment of very expensive purchase price and we're going into a potential downturn during the course of our ownership, we believe that with the right effort behind the right assets, we can still find not only actionable opportunities but very attractive ones that can meet the expected return threshold that we continue to believe America's 12 will deliver, which is a net to LPs, call it about 2x multiple money, and a rate of return of high teens, maybe 20%. So it takes a lot more work to deliver on something like this today than it used to, but it is still very achievable. That said, we are every day being mindful of the environment in which we're operating and making sure that every investment that we are reviewing, we include a recession scenario as part of our base case expectation. We are assuming that purchase multiples will likely contract over the course of our ownership. And we're really trying to just take a very conservative, prudent view of what the world is going to look like as we think about owning these investments for, on average, approximately 5 years. So while it's still very early days and we are only about 40% committed to date, we continue to believe that we are selecting the right investment opportunities, purchasing them at appropriate prices, and importantly, structuring them with the right capital structure that can not only weather the downturn, but put the companies in a position to achieve additional scale within their particular sectors over that course and that opportunity. So with that, I will pass it over to my colleague, Elliot, who can provide you an update on what we're doing in our real estate business.
Do we have Elliot on the line still?
Did you guys?
Yes.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Again, just wanted to thank everyone on the call, as Amy did, for the trust that you placed in KKR with your capital. Just turning to the European real estate business, I think that we have reached a pretty critical inflection point in terms of the investing of REIT-B. And you may have noticed a rather sizable jump in the commitments to the fund, to investments over the last couple of quarters. We are now, as of September 30th, more than 70% committed, we've invested more than 55% of the capital. And the most important thing that I want to say is that this is not due to any change in strategy change in thought process or investment activity, but rather just the maturation of a number of investing themes that we've talked to you about over the last, I'd say, 12 to 18 months. Specifically, what we have been targeting in Europe have been some build-up opportunities where we have established platforms with trusted partners and to attack specific opportunity sets in specific regions. What I would say the majority of 2017 and the beginning of 2018 was setting up those up and finding the right partners and obviously where we wanted to be playing. And now we're seeing the fruits of that, where deals are coming through beginning to populate those platforms specifically. And as you can see in the materials, we've made a great deal of progress with our logistics platform that we've partnered with Roundhill Capital on, having begun to make our initial investments in that platform. We have made significant strides around our student housing theme. And as you can see, I just want to make sure I have the right case study for you. And we made a major deal for the fund where we bought what's called Project Colorado. We closed that in the tail end of Q3, so actually the last day of September, but for purpose-built student accommodation schemes in the UK. This also represents our first investment in the UK in over 3.5 years. What we have seen is the intersection, I would say, of two main themes. Number one was the fact that we were building out this platform to take advantage of opportunities in specific areas, student housing being one of them. And then the other was spending a lot of time on the sidelines, quite frankly, of the UK in the wake of Brexit, with a great deal of uncertainty going on, and that despite the announcement today of a tentative deal, there remains some uncertainty, and then also, quite frankly, some prime high quality assets were really not attainable for us to underwrite to our target returns. What we did was here again, coming back to my initial remarks, was the intersection of planting the seeds to execute on on themes with the Bright partner, in this case Roundhill Capital, and waiting around for some semblance of value to begin to percolate in the UK, and that's where we were able to execute on Project Colorado at the tail end of Q3, which is again a deal that we like from the geography, we like from the sector perspective, and we obviously like our partner in Roundhill Capital. So we have also made our first investment post the end of the quarter. If you see on the following page, which is page 18 of the deck, where our programmatic JV that we've talked to you about, where we set it up to focus on resi development in London with a company called Regal, we made our first investment called Project Stockwell, which is a relatively small development scheme, only 62 units, and it's a small equity ticket of £6 million. But again, these are the building blocks for what we anticipate will be a much larger opportunity to execute in this market that, again, we identified many quarters ago. And so, again, I think about the times that we've gotten together on the phone, and I've explained how the team was really in the building in the building phases of thinking about this portfolio, and now we're in the actual execution and deployment phases of these platforms, and you're seeing that come through quite clearly in terms of capital calls, capital commitment, and where that portfolio is beginning to mature. And then, I would just like to also highlight the fact that the existing deals in the portfolio that many of you are familiar with continue to perform very well. We had a number of markups in the third quarter. Specifically, we had four markups that increased in value. Astrid, which is our pair of hotels in Brussels, Beach, our hospitality portfolio in Spain, Copper, which is our series of telecom assets in Italy, and then La Valette, which is a brand new investment that was made in Q2 in Paris. I would be remiss if I didn't talk about the one transaction that did have a slight markdown, and that is Saki Hall, which is actually our first investment from the fund, the retail scheme in Glasgow. There is a tenant, a bank that has that gave notice and is vacating the space, so we just need to relet that space. We are doing that in conjunction with trying to find a capital solution to think about disposing of the asset and monetizing it over the next kind of 6 to 9 months. And so, as you can see, we've reached that inflection point where the portfolio has been, the majority of the fund has been committed. We have a number of deals that have been seasoned for, again, very different from where Amy and America's 12 sits from her remarks, a little bit different from a time horizon. We're starting to thinking about how do we monetize some of these assets that we've held for, coming up on 4 years now in the first quarter in the case of Saki. So what we will be doing, through the next kind of 6 to 9 months is twofold. Number one, we're going to be to begin to monetize some of those assets. I would say that the key opportunities that are out there that we think are near-term candidates for sale include Saki Hall, as well as Copper, our telecom asset. We recently sold a similar type of property from a different fund in a different it's in a different geography, but similar property type, and we know that there's a pretty good bid out there in the market for that type of an asset. And then the other, and then we will just continue to build out these platforms that I've spoken of before, with additional deals in the student housing space, additional deals in the logistics space, and then we will continue to acquire more residential schemes in and around London with our Regal partner. If I can give you a key takeaway from this call is that we feel very good about where the fund sits. As you can see, we have a high teens gross IRR and a low teens net IRR. Those numbers obviously will begin to converge, and that delta will shrink over time as we no longer have the J curve drag from the fees on committed capital. So we feel again we're at that inflection point, and then we are as I said nearly 70% committed as of the end of the quarter. If I look at the pipeline now and deals that are in process, we're really nearly 80% committed, we believe, by the end of this year, which will lead us to the point where in early 2019 we will be in the market beginning to capitalize a successor fund for REPI. And with an anticipation that we'll probably have the first close of that sometime around the middle of the year. So with that, I will turn it back over to Patrick, and we can open it up for questions.
Thanks, Elliot, and thank you, Amy. Really appreciate both of your updates on the products. Operator, if we could open the line for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on the telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We will take our first question from the line of Clara from Standard Chartered. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for taking the time to conduct this call this evening. My first question is probably for Patrick. Could you tell us now, obviously both funds have been, both the KKR Americas 12 and REP have been calling capital or been deploying capital. Could you tell us roughly now how much of our committed capital has been drawn and how that's allocated between the two funds?
Sure. So to date, the Pegasus product has called 45.5% of commitments, and in aggregate, there have been calls of just about $13 million to both of the underlying products, so just over $13 million for REPE as well as for Americas 12, and that aggregate 26 or so million represents just under that 45% amount, and we have a bit of cash from our most recent capital call that we expect to go into the next capital call from the underlying funds either in late Q4 or early Q1.
Thanks. If I could ask Amy, you said that you'd made 15 investments to date, and I'm looking at page 24 of your presentation, which at the top you have America's Fund 12 LP, and I see 14 investments listed. What's the 15th that's not on there, or if you're able to say?
No, my apologies. I was probably rounding up. There is a transaction that we are expecting to sign later this month.
Okay.
That would close in the early part of next year. It's a healthcare transaction. And so I think that was already captured in my math. Sorry about the confusion there.
Okay, so that's one pending that will be in the portfolio at the beginning of next year.
That's right. And maybe just
okay,
in the pipeline, it's possible that there might be another one signed up before year end as well, with also a close in the early part of next year. So we would expect to end 2018 around 15 deals signed.
Okay, cool. Then I just had a question on Sawkey Hall. You mentioned that you'd look to dispose of that in the next 6 to 9 months. So did I understand correctly that you're first going to find a new tenant for the bank's vacated space and then look to exit?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's that it's not necessarily a sequencing issue. And we're, you know, we're not going to wait for the perfect tenant to come in. We can set up the sales process and move forward in some and we believe that we probably will get credit for the value that we built at the entire asset rather than just focusing on one specific unit. But they don't vacate till this month. And so, there's probably some period of time that that we won't deliver it fully let.
Okay, but so today it's been marked down, but you because of that vacant spot, but you don't foresee that in the longer run when you realize the asset, that people will, whether it's vacant or not, it'll still achieve some value. Did I understand
that correctly? Yeah, exactly. Again, that's a point in time issue of we weren't able to really do anything with it as of the end of the quarter, right? So on a go forward basis, we can do both.
Okay, awesome, perfect. Thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I would like to turn the conference back to our speaker for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you. I just want to wrap up by again thanking Amy and Elliot for their updates, as well as thanking all of our participants. And if there are any questions following the call, please feel free to contact me directly. And I believe everybody on the line should have my contact information. Thank you to everyone, and have a great day. Take care.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for your participation.